The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing our look at the investigators in the revised core set for new players. This time, we are taking a look at the rogue investigator, Skids O'Toole. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. The rogue investigator in the revised core set is Skids O'Toole, the ex-con. He has 2 willpower, 3 intellect, 3 combat, and 4 agility. He has the criminal trait. As a free triggered ability during your turn, you may spend 2 resources. You may take an additional action this turn, limit once per turn. His Elder Sign effect is +2, and if you succeed, you gain 2 resources. He has 8 health and 6 sanity. Now, the first thing that most people look at Skids is his low willpower. It is certainly not the worst willpower among rogues, as the card pool has expanded, but in a game where a large majority of the treachery cards in the encounter deck deal with willpower tests, 2 willpower is a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, it's the combination of 2 willpower and 6 sanity, I think, that really deters people from playing Skids initially, because it's just very easy to just die out of nowhere from a rotting remains or get stuck with a frozen in fear in your threat area for a couple of turns because the other investigators are across the map or something like that. But
oh, right. Frozen of Fear is the big one.
Yeah, Frozen of Fear especially. But I do think that Skids is better than I think a lot of people give him credit for.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I do think that having 3-3-4 as the rest of his stats really does go a long way in combination with some of the neutral skills and some of the other cards that he has access to. And extra actions are always good, too. Being able to convert one resource that you can acquire a bunch of throughout the course of the game and turning those into extra actions is incredibly useful.
And really flexible, too. Yeah, that's why I've played a bit of Skids, and my favorite use of his ability is actually to move. So typical Skids turns for Skids turn for me is like evade, investigate, move. Yeah, to like get out of danger. But oh man, we're getting into all sorts of great things about the power of evade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Skids being the first investigator in the box with a decent evade. I believe Wendy's also got a 4. So. Evade is, we've talked about sort of the pillars of this game, those being the ability to discover clues and the ability to manage enemies. And traditionally, there are, at least in the core set, there are 2 primary ways of doing that. One is killing them, which is often the preferred way because there are certain enemies that are better dead than alive. But the other way is evasion, which can actually save you a lot of time and effort if you evade the right enemies on the board, because unlike combat, which can take multiple actions to deal with an enemy, evade can be a one and done. And the other thing that you may not notice as when you first start off in the game is that enemies, as a general rule, tend to have a slightly higher combat skill values and slightly lower evade skill values. So you're getting a little bit, you may have that like a 4 in combat and a 4 in agility. You're going to get a little bit extra out of that 4 in agility than that 4 in combat, because you're going to run into more enemies that have higher combat skill values. So while the agility was often considered, I think, early in when the core set was released 5 years ago, it was sort of the least powerful skill in the game. That has certainly, I think, people have come to appreciate it a lot more. And the game has certainly supported it a lot more, which is something I'm not entirely sure the core set does particularly well, at least in the rogue card pool that Skids relies on.
The revised core set does a much better job of supporting that with a card that we'll talk about in a little bit. But I think another aspect of Skids that can be difficult is his play patterns are not nearly as straightforward as someone like Daisy or Roland. You know, you really have to think about your turns, I think, a lot more with Skids than those other two investigators. You know, like Manastrophic was saying, like, you have so many different options that you can take in your turns that being able to tell, like, a decent Skids player from a really great Skids player is going to be a huge difference in how much value you get out of Skids. For instance, say you have an enemy at, like, a central location. Well, Skids can spend two resources, move to a remote location, and then evade the enemy and leave the enemy in a location you're never going to go back to. Like, that's how you really unlock the power of Skids.
Yeah, and I think one of the issues a lot of players run into with Skids is that, as we'll look at in a moment, his off-class is Guardian, and Guardian, in the core set at least, tends to be about dealing with enemies, with fighting. And unfortunately for Skids, he only has three combat. And so fighting, if you start off as the designers recommend and play a lot of Roland, where fighting, you're usually fighting with a 4, 5, or a 6, and then you try to do the same thing with Skids, who's starting at a 3, you will notice a significant difference in their effectiveness. And that could be potentially frustrating for a new player who's like, well, I was fighting before and it was working perfectly, and now I'm having trouble. Playing Skids as a sort of leaning heavily into that idea that Skids is going to fight a lot is, I think, a potential trap for new players.
I agree. Especially what actually makes this trap kind of worse is that the weapons they do give him, Switchblade and 41 Derringer level 0, they're kind of bad. Especially Switchblade. Burn that card. It's really bad. Don't play that.
Yeah, the rogue weapons tend to be, if you're accustomed to Guardian weapons that come with the combat and damage bonuses, rogue weapons, those tend to be very scarce that can do that. Even as the card pool has expanded, they've been fairly reluctant to give rogues really, really good weapons. So especially in this core set, if Skids is looking for a weapon, his options are quite poor. So you combine a 3 combat with a poor weapon, and you are in for trouble. I'm interested to hear what you think of his free triggered ability, that ability to gain an additional action for 2 resources. I played a campaign where I tried to trigger that as often as possible just to see how fast I could go, and it actually can be a very effective way of playing Skids if you're able to trigger that consistently. Those all those extra actions add up, and of course action advantage is key in this game.
It's huge. Yeah, you know, resources are only as good as the things you spend them on. Having an outlet to be able to spend additional resources to get additional actions is huge. Kind of one tangential point I'll make about Skids' combat ability is that he is really good at selecting what enemies he wants to kill. While you're not going to be shooting down every single enemy you come across, once you hit, like, a roadblock, Skids can, he can backstab an enemy, and he can reasonably use a gun. If he has the 45, he's shooting at a 4, and then if you combine overpower or something, that's a 6, that's reasonable. You know, so you have these you have the ability to kill bosses and do things like that in solo, which is, I think, a really sort of unspoken power of Skids that is sort of hard to pick up initially, but once you get used to that, it's really good.
Yeah, Skids' ability is really about getting a lot done on one turn. So the real skill becomes identifying the turns when Skids needs to go berserk and get a lot of things done at once, and then you throw a lot of resources and cards into that spike of activity. Like, I need to move and attack the boss 3 times and hit 3 times. And then what you do is you go, okay, well, now I'm gonna add on my I'm gonna use, say, backstab, and I'm gonna add vicious blow and overpower, and you get it all done in one turn. Like the one important turn. And then on other turns you can build up resources, you can discover a few clues, you can move about the board and just kind of charge up for the mega turn. Skids is very good at that. And like you said, picking which enemies to defeat and which ones to not spend ammo on. So evade, very important. And the key is you're saving up ammo for that mega turn when you need to get things done.
Skids' Elder Sign effect is also one of the better ones in the core set with the +2, which is good, but it's the if you succeed you gain the two resources, which Skids can immediately convert into an additional action, which is very powerful.
Yeah, if you think about it, Elder Sign +2. If you think of it as +2 gain an action if you succeed, that's amazing. Like, that's really good.
Yeah, that's really good. It's also nice that it's a positive modifier, too, because he has a low willpower. So, like, in those very rare instances where you happen to, like, test a Rotting Remains 2-3 and you draw this, you actually pass that test, which is huge.
Yeah, and with the two resources, you're happy.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll find many Skids players who wouldn't be unhappy to draw an Elder Sign trying to deal with the three willpower test on Frozen in Fear. You get to break the Frozen in Fear and you get an extra action, so you can maybe make up some of the time that you may have lost earlier while you were busy trying to deal with it earlier in the game. The Skids' deck size is 30, as is all the investigators in the revised core set. His deck building options include rogue cards, level 0 to 5, guardian cards, level 0 to 2, and neutral cards, level 0 to 5. His other deck building requirements are his signature event on the Lamb, his weakness, hospital debts, and one random basic weakness.
I think that Skids is one of those investigators that gets much better as you build your card pool, because the Guardian card pool diversifies quite a bit, as does the Rogue card pool. I think a lot more than some of the other classes do, as they sort of tend to further pigeonhole themselves into their archetypes. But once you understand what Skids is trying to do, you know, I think cards like Physical Training or even a card like Dodge or Dynamite Blast can be pretty useful in Skids, because Skids is, he's a rogue, so he has cards like Hot Streak that he can upgrade into, so he can reliably get that Dynamite Blast off. He can get the resources that he needs for Physical Training or something like that. And, you know, even Police Badge helps him do those insane, like, combo turns where you have like 7 or 8 actions.
Yes, I was going to mention Police Badge. Police Badge is very much a Skids card because it puts him up to 3 willpower, so then he can more reliably deal with things like Rotting Remains and Guts. Rotting Remains by using Guts, so it protects him against treacheries, and you can use it for the mega turns when you need to get a lot of things done. Yep. All right. Police Badge, very good for Skids.
Yeah, I think the rogue card pool is I always get the impression when I look at the rogue card pool in the revised core set that the designers weren't quite sure what to do with rogues at this point in the game. They were still sort of feeling around for what role the rogues would play. And so the card pool is, it's got some very good cards and it's got some very bad cards. And being able to figure out which ones are good and which ones are bad, I think, are key to being able to build Skids, and then taking the cards that you need from the Guardian card pool to supplement those really, really helps once you sort of get once you've played with them a little bit and realize, like, okay, well, things like Switchblade are really not doing me any good. I need to get those out of my deck and put in something better. Other cards, like, I think Burglary being one of them. I know in the starter guide or the deck advice they give you in the revised core set rulebook hints at Burglary being an important card, and it's not. don't take their advice. It is not a good card. So really, it's the rogue card pool really improves once you start to increase the size of your collection. And you start to get a lot of key cards. Fortunately, FFG recognized this when they did the revised core set and included some of those new upgrades in this deck that we'll take a look at. And I think that really changes Skids right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Adding lockpicks from the Path to Carcosa to the revised core set is... It's almost shocking that it wasn't there to begin with, because it's just such a key card for Skids as well as pretty much any rogue in the game.
Yeah, the upgraded Derringer isn't a card to scoff at in Skids either. You know, that's another card that can facilitate big combo turns. But Kind of on the same point, I think Skids is one of those investigators that rewards you playing with him. Like the more you play with him, the better you get at him. Whereas like investigators like Daisy and Roland are fairly straightforward, and you can sort of get what they're trying to do with them just from making a deck with them. But Skids is really one of those investigators that rewards you with playing with him over and over again and really figuring out how to best utilize him and his card pool.
I agree.
Let's take a look at Skid's signature cards. His signature event is On the Lam. It is a one-cost event that has four skill icons, one intellect, one agility, and two wild skill icons. I think it has more skill icons than any other card in the core set. Tactic trait, Skids O'Toole deck only. It is fast. Play after your turn begins until the end of the round. Non-elite enemies cannot attack you. I don't think I have ever played this card in all of my games with Skids.
Oh, you have not lived, sir. You have not lived. You have not lived until you've used On the Lam to drag three enemies to a location and then dynamite blasted them all.
That's awesome.
That, yeah, that's what On the Lam lets you do. If you read between the lines, you squint hard enough, you might see the bit where it says you don't take attacks of opportunity this turn. Then you could like you can go wild with a mega turn where you get a lot of stuff done with On the Lam.
And the fact that it has four skill icons is huge,
Oh yeah. Oh
in
yeah.
those
That's if you
moments where
don't
you
need a
need
mega turn,
it.
then you have On the Lam, but On the Lam can get a lot of stuff done, especially the exact scenario that Nate was talking about earlier, where you can drag an enemy to a remote location, evade it, and then walk away. That's what On the Lam does, is enable tricks like that.
It's in keeping with a lot of what we've been talking about Skids is that he's an investigator that really benefits from practice and experience. And where you may look at, like I certainly, when I started playing him, you look at a card like On the Lam and you see all those skill icons and you're like, I'm probably going to end up committing this to a test. But once you practice a little bit and you're like, okay, well, I can have those mega turns, or I can drag in enemies around without taking an attack and reposition them into a better, where we need them to be. Even if you just need to, in some cases, you just need to resign and you need to cross the map as fast as possible. You can play this, take as many move actions as you want with as many enemies as long as they're not elite. You're in good shape, and you can get a if you need to resign, you can still take three move actions to get to that location, and then spend the two resources to get that additional action, and then resign without nary a scratch.
That's the power of On the Lam, is it lets you get a lot of stuff done without having to worry about attacks of opportunity.
Skid's signature weakness is hospital debts. It is a task. It has the revelation, put hospital debts into play in your threat area. As a free triggered ability, you may move one resource from your resource pool to hospital debts. Limit twice per round. Forced, when the game ends, if hospital debts has fewer than six resources on it, you earn two fewer experience for this scenario. Now, I love this card thematically. I think it's the art on this is absolutely brilliant. And I think it's worth noting here that unlike many signature weaknesses that will tax your actions, this one does not, because it that free triggered ability allows you to move resources. Now it does attack Skid's resources, which are important to him. And while earning two fewer experience points may not seem that bad, rogues, especially when your card pool grows, rogues have a lot of cards with the exceptional keyword, which means their experience point cost is doubled. So rogues need experience points, and so this challenges that.
Well, even in the core set, Hot Streak is 4 XP. That's a lot, and it's such a great Skids card. Same with Sure Gamble; those are expensive XP wise. So yeah, it does kind of hurt, but it doesn't hurt like Roland does, like Roland's weakness does, where if the weakness hits you, you take a trauma, and then you're less able to complete future scenarios. It's nice that Skids' weakness doesn't doesn't smack you immediately, and it doesn't hinder you from completing future scenarios like Roland's does. One thing to note about Skids' weakness is that other players can help you deal with it. Very important.
Yeah, when it says limit twice per round, that applies to each investigator individually. So that's the difference between limit twice per round or group limit twice per round. So that's huge, is that if, you know, Daisy's on your team and she has a couple extra resources that she can pitch in, she can help pay off his hospital debts. And then Skids can spend two resources, and then you're already two-thirds of the way of covering the debt off. And this tends to be a fairly mild weakness, especially once you further expand your card pool. But this is definitely a weakness you do not want to draw later in the game when you're stuck with a bunch of enemies and you've kind of planned your turn out. Because as Manastrophic was saying, like, or as Man from Lang was saying, rogues need a lot of experience, you know. Their core cards cost a decent amount of experience. You're looking at, you know, 14 experience just to buy Sure Gamble and Hot Streak level 4. So, you know, that's something you're going to have to consider, but this isn't nearly as bad as taking trauma, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are some really good points. I hadn't even considered that. I know we talked about that other investigators can help Roland deal with cover-up, but it hadn't occurred to me that other investigators can also help Skids deal with his hospital debts, which makes it much more manageable. It is nice that it's one of those weaknesses that really has no effect on you during the game. If you're hard up for resources or you've just got too many other things to deal with, this isn't going to pile on the problems that you're having. It's like, okay, at worst it costs you a card draw during your upkeep phase, and you'll deal with the consequences at the end of the scenario when you don't earn that experience point. It's also, like you said, a little bit swingy too, because if you draw this at the beginning of a scenario, great, I've got 12, 14 turns that I'm going to be able to slowly pile the resources on this, and you'll probably have enough extra resources that you can slowly chip away at it if necessary. If you draw it at the end, well, you're going to need either a bunch of people at your location to help you out clear it, or you're going to need at least three turns to finish it off. But
yeah, that's the tricky part, having those three turns when you're by yourself. But if you've got some friends, and because you're playing multiplayer, then you're probably in good shape. Because what happens to a lot of investigators, as a scenario is going well, they get set up, and then they stop needing to spend their resources quite so intensely. So by the time the game is over, Daisy might have 10, 12 resources just sitting around because of Dr. Milan. And you just hit her up for some cash. She's good for it.
Yeah, if you looked at a graph of most investigators or over the course of a scenario, the resources plummet immediately upon starting and then slowly begin to creep up to the point where I know often there have been scenarios where I've been at the end and you end up with 10 or 12 and you're like, well, what are these doing? Like, I should be playing cards that somehow take advantage of all these extra resources that are just generating, because unless you're spending them, they're, you know, like other resources in the game, unless you're leveraging them, they're really not doing you a whole lot of good.
And that brings us back around to Skids, because Skids is the man to leverage all those extra resources.
Yeah, exactly. Every two resources is an extra action, and that those actions add up over the course of a game. So the more you can do, better off you are. I know a lot of rogue players really focus on speed as the, if you're playing them in solo, that speed is paramount because you need to beat the scenario before the encounter deck hurts that little willpower that you're packing comes back to bite you, and you end up getting tagged by too many rotting remains being one, frozen in fear being perhaps even more deadly, because it simply will shut you down and slow you down to the point where you just don't have the time or the actions to get around it. And as you sort of branch out in the game, you'll encounter many a willpower treachery where losing horror is is the best part.
Yeah,
you'll be happy to lose. You'll be happy to take a few horror because the other stuff on the card is much, much worse. And you simply don't have the willpower to deal with that, especially if you're by yourself.
Yeah, I'd say that's actually a good rule of thumb for any Arkham player is when you're building a deck, make sure you have a way to deal with three willpower treacheries because there are a lot of them and they'll do all sorts of nasty things to you. But there are a lot of them that are willpower and difficulty three. So you kind of need a plan, whether it's take it on the chin or commit guts or, you know, or take some healing. Just having a plan for willpower three treacheries is kind of important.
Yeah, and Skids is in the, I guess, the enviable position of rogues where he has actually two willpower. Some of them have one, which makes it even more difficult for them. At least with two, you can throw a guts to a test, and chances are you still have a chance to pass. Not great, exactly. But you still have a chance. If you have one willpower, guts doesn't do enough on its own to get you over that willpower hump. And you'll often just take every willpower treachery on the chin. At least Skids, he's got guts. He has access to physical training. He's got the resources to pay for physical training. So if he really needs to pass a willpower test, he can probably muster between guts and physical training. He can probably muster enough resources and cards to actually pass it. You'd mentioned before we started talking, Matastrophic, about Winifred Habermock, the rogue investigator from the starter decks. And it's interesting to compare the two because while Skids has access to physical training and guts and stuff like that, Winifred is not so lucky, and the rogue card pool doesn't really offer her a whole lot to help her overcome that hump. So when you play her, you can often end up just getting stuck because you don't have the way to break that willpower treachery that's harassing you.
Don't forget Police Badge. That's one thing that Skids has access to. Yep, very important.
That's another one.
The often overlooked Sure Gamble.
Yeah, Sure Gamble is that's a fantastic card to play when you it feels very good to play that card when you pull that negative modifier from the deck and you're from the chaos bag and you're like, oh, I'm going to fail, but I'm actually going to turn this into a plus and pass by a lot. Skids, his starter deck again contains actually 16 assets this time, not one less than all the others. He's got the 45 automatic physical training, which we talked about, beat cop, first aid, machete, guard dog. His rogue cards include the switchblade, burglary, pickpocketing, the 41 derringer, Leo DeLuca, hard knocks, two copies of knife and two copies of flashlight, which are in every deck. His events include his signature on the lamb, evidence, dodge, dynamite blast, elusive, backstab, sneak attack, and two copies of emergency cash. For skills, he has vicious blow, opportunist, guts, and two copies of guts and two copies of overpower. And his weakness is the mob enforcer, which is very thematic. What do you think about this deck, guys?
It's okay. There are some cards I would definitely take out. Sneak Attack and Opportunist come to mind, but I think, unlike some of the other investigators in the core set, Skids' off-class, I think, actually supplements him pretty well. You know, when you look at the Seeker card pool for Roland in the core set, like Medical Text, Research Librarian, Encyclopedia, these cards aren't really doing anything for Roland. Skids' off-class, I think, actually provides him with a decent amount of tools. So that's really nice for him, is that his upgrade path is, I think, probably the most exciting out of any of the investigators in the box. Because he has a lot of really fun options that he can try out and you know, see what works for you personally. But Sneak Attack is a trap. Don't play it.
Same with Switchblade. Don't play that.
Yeah,
same with Burglary. Don't play that. Yeah, I think that's the trick is Skids has a great off-class in Guardian, but it can be a trap if you go too hard on Guardian. And that's kind of that is the art of Skidsing.
Yeah, it's important to note, I think, in Skids' deck is that he has some of the most powerful cards in the game in Leo DeLuca, which gives him an additional action. And if you have ever played, if you ever have the joy of playing a rogue deck where you get Leo DeLuca down on turn one, and you're automatically taking four actions a turn, And then with Skid's ability to bump that up to 5, it's pretty amazing what you can do by nearly doubling the number of actions that you can take per turn. Of course, you do need to be careful in certain scenarios of getting an early crypt chill when you're not ready for it, and losing poor Leo to that. But the earlier you can get Leo down and really jack up the number of actions that you're taking is great. And another card that is fantastic is Elusive, which can really, you can use that to move around the board in ways that other investigators simply can't do.
Don't forget Elusive plus Dynamite Blast combo.
Yep. Yeah, I believe MJ said in an interview that we had done with them, I think it was almost like 2 or 3 years ago, that they had said that Elusive was the best card in the core set, and I would agree.
Well, we can talk about this more in depth later.
Generation, but yeah, it's good. Like we were saying earlier, the Rogue card pool has some like really high highs and then some really low lows.
And Switchblade.
Through some experimentation, you know, once you play with the cards, you'll very quickly kind of weed those lower point cards out, and the Rogue card pool becomes a lot more exciting as you expand your collection.
Yeah, we will be doing reviews of all the cards in the core set, and we'll go into probably more detail about why cards like Switchblade and Burglary are not particularly good for most investigators. And but yeah, the rogue card pool is has some extremely good stuff in it, and especially the upgrades in this particular box are quite good, which they the two additions being Lockpicks and the level 2, is it level 2 45 Derringer, yeah, or level 3? Level 2. One of the things we haven't really talked about with Skids is one of the themes that runs through the a lot of the Rogue cards is the succeed by 2 mechanic, which you see on cards like Switchblade and the 41 Derringer and Opportunist. And while that is certainly something that you can pursue, that theme is really only developed later as the card pool really expanded. So while succeeding by 2, or in the case of Opportunist, succeeding by 3 is certainly possible, that is a theme that develops a lot more once you have access to the larger card pool. That's the nice thing about Lockpicks, is that it is a succeed by 2 as well, but it is you're basically, you get to take an investigation test by combining Skids' agility and his intellect, so you're testing at 7, so succeeding by 2 on that is yep. often a given
Lockpicks is great in that it helps you achieve that succeed by 2 all by itself.
Yeah. And that is one of the reasons I think that like a card like Opportunist here struggles, because it's a succeed by 3. And while I quite like, there is a level 2 version of it that came out later that I think is slightly better, succeeding by 3, I think this is one of the tricky areas where you can get trapped with Skids, is especially if you're like, well, I'm going to fight with the Switchblade and try to succeed by 2 or 3, and that's just not going to happen. If you're trying to do that, you are going to be in trouble, because between Skids's low or his average, I should say, combat skill, and just the way the chaos bag works in this game, succeeding by 2, unless you have exceptional skills, is tricky and requires more support than the core set certainly provides.
Yeah, that's kind of the trap of Skids, is trying to overdo things that don't actually have that much of a payoff, like being a full-time fighter or trying to use Switchblade all the time. Yeah, Switchblade is, that's what you feed to your Crypt Chill. That's what you do with it.
That's going to do it for our look at Skids O'Toole, the ex-con. Skids has, there are quite a few people who don't really like Skids all that much, and then quite a few people who really like Skids. And I have a very soft spot for the rogue investigators in this game, and Skids was, I believe, one of the first investigators I ran one of my first campaigns with, and so I have a lot of affection for him. Where do you guys stand on the Skids scale?
I quite like Skids. I think he's one of those investigators that, like I was saying earlier, really rewards not only clever play, but experience. So it's just really enjoyable to really learn and master an investigator like Skids. Whereas I feel like other investigators you kind of get bored of pretty quickly. You play a campaign with them, and yeah, that's kind of it. Like, I'm kind of all set playing them again. But Skids is. He has so many different options and things that he can do that really, I think, make him a much more exciting investigator than somebody like Daisy or Roland.
Yeah, I agree. He's not one-sided, and it does reward being able to read the turn, read the board, and figure out how to use his ability to get the right things done. I admit him. I like Jenny. Jenny's my favorite rogue.
Yeah, I think it's I know I don't play multiplayer all that often, but when I do, I as you get more experience with the game, you'll find that the decks tend to specialize a lot more when you start to play in higher player counts. And so while I enjoy playing investigators like Daisy because investigating with a 5 intellect is amazing, it does get fairly monotonous when you're playing a campaign, and that's pretty much all you do is move from location to location and take investigate actions. The toolboxy nature of the rogues gives them a little bit more flexibility where you can say, okay, I am going to investigate with my lockpicks, and then I'm going to go kill this enemy over here, and then I'm going to go evade, or I'm going to engage something and maybe soak a hit from it and then evade it the next turn. So it's that toolboxy approach, there are benefits to it. And while it's certainly appealing to play investigators who are like, you have 5 combat, you go kill all the enemies, or you have 5 intellect, you go get all the clues, having that option to do both can be quite appealing, especially if you're playing a longer campaign.
Yeah, I also say that Skids is probably one of the best third investigators that you can have out of the core set. Like, if you have Daisy and Roland's like your main fighter, and Daisy's your main investigator, Skids is a really good flex investigator in a team like that because he can, like you said, he can do both things. He can investigate and he can fight, or he can evade things, and he just gets things done, like we were kind of been saying ad nauseum in this review.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your Elder Sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.